Hello and welcome to the Gamehouse College Sports Show. I am Joe. With me is Kyle, as always, to talk about college football. We are going to recap the last week, preview this upcoming week of football, and we also have another head coach firing going on right now. So a lot to talk about, Kyle. How are you doing?
Doing well. We got football on tonight. Been fun to watch Virginia and Virginia Tech and West Virginia. But yeah, we got a podcast to record, so.
That's what we got to do. Let's start it off with the head coach change for the Arizona State Sun Devils. They lose to Eastern Michigan in a bye game, and they end up firing Herm Edwards. Not all because they lost to Eastern Michigan, but they also have an NCAA investigation going on. That seems to be the main reason why he is getting out now. But, Kyle, I always thought, like, hey, we talked about this right before off air. If you're going to fire a guy anyway, just fire him in the offseason so you can get a new, fresh start. And B, Arizona State, I think, is kind of like a sleeping giant in terms of what they offer. Big school, big population. It's a nice, warm climate, party school, as we all know. They should be able to do a little bit better. So the firing of Herm Edwards isn't too much of a surprise.
Yeah, I was a little bummed though. I mean, I liked Herm Edwards being there, and like you said, I thought he had Arizona State going in the right trajectory. But like you said, there's some off the field issues that I think maybe kind of was the impetus of that. But yeah, I mean, I guess another new chapter in Arizona State. But like you said, if you knew at the beginning of the year, I feel like it was kind of silly to keep him on, similar to Scott Frost, but I don't think they expected him to fall down this badly. Maybe we'll have more opportunities to talk about other coaches later in the season. My mind's kind of on the Auburn Brian Harsin coach, same situation, you know, where you knew going into the season that maybe it wasn't the best idea to keep him on, but here we are. So,
yeah, sometimes it pays to act swiftly in these things. I mean, they've known Brian Harsin hasn't been the guy since, like, you know, day two on the job. Maybe it seems like, at least it feels that way. So, you know, get some guys in there who can do some good work and everything. Possible replacements for Arizona State, I would say. Look at Matt Rhule. He's probably going to get fired from the Panthers very, very soon after an 0-2 start. He has a reputation as being a kind of program turnaround guy. He did it at Temple. He did it at Baylor. Deion Sanders, the big name, he's going to be in a lot of coaching searches. I don't know if he wants to leave Jackson State quite yet. He has two sons on the team, but he's a big name. And you know what? If you're Arizona State and want to take a big swing higher on someone who can kind of activate those big things they have going for him with that big student population, that nice climate, and the party school, Deion Sanders can recruit. You set him up with a good staff. And I heard Josh Pate at 247 Sports, who, you know, hit or miss with some of his takes, but he said, hey, that's kind of what Arkansas did. They signed Sam Pittman, and they got him with an incredible staff, and that's why he's being so successful. So they could do the same thing with Deion Sanders, plus the name brand, everything. Coincidentally, I think Brian Harsin is someone to look at here. He is not a fit in the SEC, but he might be a fit out west. He did okay in Boise State. He's just not the SEC guy. Dan Mullen from Florida. And then if they decide to go this route, Todd Monken, the Georgia offensive coordinator, he certainly looks good so far, Kyle, getting the most out of Stetson Bennett this year. You know, Stetson Bennett's not the most talented quarterback, but they're moving the ball, and he looks like a little bit better than probably the talent indicates. So he's, you know, he's been in the NFL, he's been in college. Todd Monken wouldn't be a bad hire out west either.
I will say for the openings for Deion Sanders, I've seen, you know, they talk about Nebraska, they talk about Georgia Tech, they talked about Arizona State. I think Arizona State would be the best fit for him. You know, you mentioned some of it, but, you know, it's the Pac-12. I think it's a place he can thrive very easily. I think it's a place he can attract recruits very easily. Like you said, Arizona State's not the hardest place to recruit to. So, if I was him, I think I would look at Arizona State for sure.
Yeah, I would too. I think it's just again, sleeping giant. If they get someone in there, it's just everything they got going for them. They could definitely do some damage in the Pac-12. So I would say that's the most likely as well. But I have heard his name involved in Georgia Tech already too. Who, you know, another coach, Jeff Collins, is going to get fired. Tough job for him. He had to turn a triple option team into a more traditional offense team, and it hasn't worked out. So. All right, let's get to our recap of week three of college football, Kyle. Washington beat Michigan State. The score got a little closer than the game indicated. Michigan State had some garbage time touchdowns. But I think you have to feel good about Michael Penix. He looks very, very healthy. He threw for 397 yards and four touchdowns. And the defense looks pretty good. They're getting some players back from injury from the last couple of years. I think there's some potential there in the Pac-12 North for Washington. And Michigan State, I think they're an average Big Ten team, maybe overrated to start the year at number 11. But, I mean, Mel Tucker has said himself that he thinks he's a bad coach. So we'll see if he can turn it around.
Wait, he said what?
He said he was a trash coach right now.
I kind of respect that. He's not putting on his players like, you know, some coaches, Dan Mullen, and I kind of respect that. This one did shock me a little bit. I didn't think Michigan State was number 11. I don't think that was a correct ranking, but I do think they could be a top 20, top 25 team. I mean, they brought a lot of pieces back from last year. Yeah, Kenneth Walker's gone, but they've still got some strong pieces. But I love seeing Michael Penix do well. Mm-hmm. He's had a career that it's been a little rocky at times, but I love that he's doing well with Washington. And I'm one of those believers that I think that college football needs a good Washington team. Like, it just makes it better overall. I like seeing the Huskies on this trajectory. I hope it continues.
I do too. I think just any more competition in the Pac-12 is always good. And they got the nice sailgating out there. You pull up to the stadium in your boat and tailgate. That seems like a bunch of fun. Oh boy, that'd be nice.
Yes.
All right, next game up, we have another Pac-12 team here. Oregon destroys BYU. They win 41-20. BYU, this was their second tough game in a row. That sometimes can get to teams, especially when they were on the road. We had good Bo Nix this week. We have a lot of bad Bo Nix, but he had a good game, and he won Player of the Week by a couple different services that do that. But they go up early, and they don't look back, and BYU was without their leading receivers again, but... I think you have to say, like, maybe George is just that good that they beat Oregon that bad, and Oregon is still a very solid team.
Yeah, look, it is what it is. We get a good bow, bad bow, depends on the week. I do think Georgia is kind of that team, but at the same time, I'm a firm believer that when you're trying out a new quarterback, I don't care who you are or who it is, there are going to be kinks. And I think that was part of it in week one. I mean, we saw him throw multiple interceptions. So I think maybe Oregon's just kind of starting to get in their groove a little bit. BYU's not a bad team. Like you said, they were without some key players, but this was a beatdown from the start. There were some guard time touchdowns by BYU or whatever, but Oregon dominated this game. Bo Nix did very well. Oregon could, you know, they came into that game barely in the top 25. I think I could see them staying on this kind of path. That's a good team. They have a lot of talent.
Yeah, it makes the Pac-12 North pretty interesting. They got a big game this weekend, too, against Washington State. So we'll have to see what goes on there. Washington State has an upset. Washington has an upset. Oregon looks pretty good. Could be interesting. The next game we'll go over, Kyle. Texas A&M beats Miami 17-9. Max Johnson is in a quarterback for the Aggies now. He looked a little bit better than what we have seen from Haynes King. It still does not look great. They scored 17 points. For Miami, they moved the ball. They just couldn't get in the end zone, and that's kind of the problem. But this was a game I kind of saw as, like, Miami's still, like, a year away from being able to compete with people in the SEC. And as you said, maybe people were overreacting to Texas A&M. This is a gritty win. It's not the greatest looking, but they got the win. That's the most important thing.
Yeah, I saw a lot of people taking Miami in this game, even based off the spread, and I just thought it was a little early to jump the ship on Texas A&M. That is still a very, very talented team. There's no doubt. I'm very confused by quarterback play at this point because, like you said, Max Johnson, you know, he has talent. And Haynes King, supposedly anyway, he should have too, and they always look awful in this offense. Part of me thinks it's scheme. I think some of it to blame on Jimbo. But, you know, Devin Achane, he's a factor no matter what, so he's going to move the ball. I don't think Miami's quite there yet. We kind of discussed that last week. But this is a good win by Texas A&M and just kind of, you know, try to right the ship. They got a big game this week too, so this is a big win for them.
Yeah, definitely a big win for them. And I think, you know, like you said, big game this week and the tough SEC West schedule, they are not going to be given too many favors the rest of the way. So they got to figure out this offense. And I guess this was a good first step for what they were, I guess. I don't know.
That defense, I chose A&M against App State. I thought there was a chance, an upset, but I wasn't confident taking it. Obviously, I was wrong there. But I thought it was because that defense would be able to hold them down. I mean, the defense has looked really good. So,
yeah, they're going to need to look good this week, too. We're going to pick their game against Arkansas, but it's going to be an absolute battle. Next game up, NC State beats Texas Tech 27-14. This comes a week after Texas Tech upset Houston at home. They had their backup quarterback in, Donovan Smith. He had some struggles. For NC State, I may have texted some friends who are fans of the Wolfpack, and I said I think Devin Leary is shaving points. I don't want to put that out in the universe and get him in trouble, but he does not look great, and they're still winning games. That's the encouraging thing. This is a guy I thought could be in the Heisman race. I wouldn't say I picked him to win the Heisman because I think CJ Stroud's going to win it, but I'm very impressed with the team overall. I'm still very disappointed in Devin Leary after how well he played last year.
Yeah, it feels like he hasn't turned it on yet, and for whatever reason. I mean, I don't really know why. They did have some competition in the first 3 weeks, but you would still expect him to be able to show some kind of flashes of maybe he could be a Heisman finalist. But like you said, they're winning games. Texas Tech, not a blowaway team or anything, but that's a good win. And going in next week with another big game, so, you know.
Yeah, they're an interesting team, man. I don't know. So, the next one up we have is, excuse me, I lost my spot here. We have Florida over USF. This is not a game I thought we would be recapping, but Florida looked really bad. I mean, they got off to a pretty good start in the first half. They're up 24-13 at halftime. They let USF come back. I mean, they have some injuries, don't get me wrong, but there's no excuse for this. Anthony Richardson looks like a shell of himself from the first week of the season, and they barely escaped USF, who is not known as a good team the last couple years, and now they got to go play Tennessee. So I'd say my concern level with Florida is pretty high right now.
Yeah, I mean, you touched on it. The USF is not a good team. They've never been a good team. So anytime you're in a close matchup with them, especially at home, that doesn't look good. They're also trying out a new quarterback. I literally just said that I don't think that works bodes very well, and they still were able to almost beat Florida. Our speculation, our analysis or whatever on Anthony Richardson, it's looking better and better after week one. I don't know what was going on against Utah, but if he can replicate that this week, they're going to beat Tennessee. If he looks like he did the last 2 weeks, that doesn't need to be game day, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, it could get ugly, honestly, in this game. I mean, I know we're going to talk about it, but
Tennessee's good, yeah.
Tennessee's good, and if Anthony Richardson plays the way he has been the last couple games, it is not going to be fun for Florida fans.
No.
Next game up, we have Wake Forest beating Liberty by 1 point, 37-16. It's just notable because I don't think Liberty's as good this year as they were last year when they had Malik Willis. Sorry, Sam Hartman's still getting his feet out under him. This is his second game back from his undisclosed medical issue. But this defense and this running game for Wake Forest could really kill them because they can't run the ball. And if they're going to give up 36 points to Liberty, they're going to have some struggles in the ACC.
Yeah, there is no run game, man. Let's be honest. I agree with you. I don't know why Sam Hartman's feet aren't quite under him yet. I believe a lot of people had him in their top five, top 10 quarterbacks for this year, and he's not really playing like it just yet. And, you know, like you said about Liberty, you know, that was a hot button topic when there was Malik Willis there, but it's just kind of a mediocre G5 team now. And this is a barely win at home. I thought Wake Forest might have been a little overrated going into the season, and they're kind of showing it now, but we'll see.
We will see. And then one of the more surprising results, not that the fact that Penn State won, but they killed Auburn, 41-12, not even close. Kyle, you mentioned you thought Penn State was going to win this one. I thought, you know, like the recruiting is decently even. The Penn State has some good guys, but there's no way that Auburn should be blown out at home. They got some dudes on that team. They got Tank Bigsby, can play for anyone in the country. A couple guys on their defense, Owen Popo, he can play for anyone in the country. They looked like they were a group of five team getting routed by a very good power five team.
I've been trying to tell people from the beginning of the year, Auburn is not good. The only team I'm sure that they can beat in the SEC is Ole Miss, and that's because they always beat us no matter what. Other than that, I don't think that's a good team. I think that could be a 4-8 team, 5-7. I think they're at the bottom of the West. They have a quarterback situation now too. They've got a little crisis there. But yeah, you mentioned Tank Bigsby. He only ran the ball 9 times, so it's your best player on the field, and you're not using him. They've got a little, like I said, the identity crisis between Ashford and TJ Finley, but neither quarterback is ready to run this team for an SEC schedule. But going back to the positives, Penn State did look good. That's another team where I think college football is just better with the Penn State team. And Sean Clifford's really done his time there, and I'm happy to see that he's succeeding in their top 25 team again.
Yeah, definitely. They played well. Sean Clifford took some big hits in the first quarter. He still bounced back and played pretty well. Very impressive for him. If you're a gambling fan out there, I would say just be cautious. Penn State has a history of like winning these games and then playing their next game really close. They're playing Central Michigan, 28-point spread. I would bet on Central Michigan. Just throwing it out there. I think they usually just don't bounce back from these big wins. All right, now we're going to preview week four of the college football season. We're going to start off with the noon game on ABC. We have Clemson at Wake Forest. Clemson's favored by 7 points, Kyle.
Yeah, and I take Clemson. I take Clemson, I think, with the points, too. I know it's on the road, but it's not a very huge environment down there at Wake Forest. Like we were talking about, I mean, Wake Forest just doesn't look like that team yet. They don't look like they have it together. Clemson hasn't looked great either, but I just think the experience and the talent is there. So I got Clemson.
Yeah, I think this is a game where Clemson maybe struggles out of the gate. That offense gets going, but I still think they win and cover. Like, I think they'll get it together. If for some reason it goes terribly wrong, they will pull DJ Uiagalelei for Cade Klubnik and get him in there, and just they'll move the ball a little bit better. I don't know how good this offense is overall because it's still very, very high school-esque, but it's at least a little step up. And then, like you said, Wake is just, they're not there yet, and they don't have the key components to be able to beat a team like Clemson. They can definitely score some points when they play North Carolina and some of these other ACC teams. I'm not sure it's going to show up against that Clemson defense. All right, next one up, we have Baylor at Iowa State. Iowa State's favored by 2.5.
I want to take Baylor. Iowa State has looked good this year. I'll give them that. You know, the Hutch to, who's the quarterback?
Hunter Deckers.
Deckers. The Deckers to Hutch connection is special. That's a fun one to watch. But I still think the Baylor defense, they've looked really good. The offense has still been questionable, but the defense has looked there. I think Baylor gets this one.
Yeah, I'm going Baylor. I think the biggest thing for them is Blake Shapen hasn't looked good this season, but I also don't think either receivers have looked good for Baylor either. Dave Aranda will have that defense ready to go, so again, if you're a betting person, the under might be the play in this one. I mean, Iowa State's never had the most explosive offense here, but I think if they can get the receivers going for Baylor, they can kind of get back on track with their season after dropping a game to a very good BYU team on the road. All right, next one up, we have Florida at Tennessee. This is where game day is, for better or for worse. I was kind of hoping they would go to Kansas and Duke, two undefeated basketball schools, but here they are going to Florida and Tennessee, and we've already mentioned some about these teams already, but the rivalry's there. That's about all they got for this one, though, I think.
As someone who especially hates Tennessee and very much hates Florida, I'm still happy they went there instead of Kansas Duke. Look, I don't think you should just reward basketball schools for actually having a pulse on football. I very much am a fan of them going to Knoxville, as much as I hate Tennessee. I think Tennessee wins this game too, just based off of what we've seen the last couple of weeks from AR-15. He's not it. I mean, we said that at the beginning of the season. He proved us wrong week one, but he's looked awful against worse competition since then. And Tennessee and Hendon Hooker, they still have it going. They've played some serious, you know, they have had a tough schedule as well, even though, you know, with Florida, I think Tennessee has this one at home.
I do too. Again, another one of these games, rivalry game, maybe it stays close for a half, but if Richardson's going to play that way, I do not want any part of Florida. Tennessee's shown some weakness to that game at Pittsburgh. I mean, they kind of tried to throw the game away, but overall, the talent level offensively for Tennessee is too much. Something to note for this game, Cedric Tillman has been having an ankle injury. I don't know if he's going to play. He's been listed as kind of like day-to-day, so just something to watch. That's their top receiver for Tennessee. But I'm assuming he's going to play. I'm assuming they're going to win. I'm assuming they're going to cover. All right, next one up, we have Texas at Texas Tech. As we mentioned, Texas Tech knocked off Houston, then lost to NC State. Texas has had quarterback injuries, but they're 2-1 with the only loss coming to Alabama. They have Quinn Ewers is going to travel with the team. That's all they're saying about the injury. Hudson Card will definitely be able to go in this one, though.
Yeah, so that was going to be my, like, basically my first question. I don't think it changes anything anyway. But if Quinn Ewers is playing, I definitely have Texas. But even if it's Hudson, he looked good against Alabama. He didn't look great or anything, but he did his job, and he did it fine. I think Texas has too much talent. I think Texas covers this one.
I agree. Texas is going to win. They've looked really good this season. I mean, even that UTSA game, they kind of struggled early, but that's a good win. That's a really good win over a team that not a lot of people like to talk about, but meep meep on that one. And I do think that this will be a very tough environment. We're talking about the last time Texas is going to go to Lubbock, maybe ever. So that's something to note. Maybe the environment will be pretty big because Texas Tech fans are pretty nuts. But otherwise, I think Texas still wins. All right, Oregon and Washington State. Oregon has that loss to Georgia that we mentioned. Washington State's undefeated still. They have that win at Wisconsin already. This could mean something down the stretch in that Pac-12 North.
That's a good win by Washington State, but I just think Oregon's the better team without a doubt. I don't think this one's going to be close. I think this is an easy win for Oregon. It's Wisconsin. I haven't been impressed with them in years. So, yeah, it's a win on the road at Wisconsin. Camp Randall at night's no easy place, but that's a beatable team at any time, anywhere, just because the offense is so bad. And Oregon has an offense. We've seen that. I've got Oregon in this one.
I have Oregon as well. I think Washington State is maybe tougher than we gave them credit for, but their quarterback, Cam Ward, who transferred in from Incarnate Word, has not really looked that great. No, he hasn't looked that good either. So I think that's – I'll go with Bo Nix here, as much as it pains me to say it. All right, next one up is maybe the best game of the weekend. We have Arkansas at Texas A&M. Arkansas is undefeated. Texas A&M's 2-1. A&M's at home. Or excuse me, this one's at AT&T Stadium, neutral field, and A&M's favored by 2 points.
Yeah, they always play this dumb game over there in middle of nowhere. I've got Texas A&M. This is always a close game, though. So if you're going to be a betting person this weekend, just don't even touch this game. You never know what's going to happen. We talked about it. Texas A&M didn't necessarily look great last week. They barely looked better, but I still think the defense is really good. Here's the thing. You're going to need to have some plays from Max Johnson. He's going to have to be able to sling it deep at some point. That's how you're going to beat Arkansas this year. Their secondary is really bad, and that was even before they lost Catalan for a little while. Wide receivers get behind the secondary. As long as you have a quarterback that can hit them, you can beat Arkansas. It's a very beatable team. We saw that last week. They played Missouri State. That's an FCS school that had no business being in that game. So I've got A&M. I think Arkansas will end up keeping it close. Just that's how this has gone the last few years, and it'd be wrong to bet against it now.
Yeah, I'm pretty high on Arkansas this year. I'm going Arkansas. I think if Appalachian State's running game gave Texas A&M trouble, I think Arkansas's running game can give them a whole hell of a lot more trouble. Now, Appalachian State's very good running football, don't get me wrong. But I think that's something to note. I'm with you. I have concerns about Catalan being out. The defense clearly took a hit last week against their former coach, Bobby Petrino. But I don't know if Texas A&M has shown they can take advantage of that. And I'm going to take Arkansas in this upset. Very high on them. I thought Texas A&M would be the better team by this point, but I just haven't seen it yet. Talent-wise, they should be able to win, especially with Arkansas's injuries. All right, the last game we're going to pick is USC at Oregon State. Kyle, we mentioned Oregon State, how much you like them so far this season. This is the first Pac-12 game of the year for USC and for Lincoln Riley. Undefeated teams. I mean, we haven't really seen USC play anyone that good. Fresno was a good team, but they had Jake Haner get hurt in the middle of the game. So it'll be interesting to see what happens here.
Yeah, I've got USC. I'm big on Oregon State, but they're not there yet. Let's be honest. USC has all the talent in the world. They have a great coach. They're going to win this game. But look, you know, it'd be interesting to see how Oregon State matches up with them and how they play. You know, they've looked good this year. They beat a Jake Haner Fresno State, but that was, you know, just barely or whatever. But this isn't the game. They're not winning the Pac-12 this year. I think this is USC's to win.
I think so too. One of these games that I think, again, might be close early. Oregon State's got the turnover chainsaw. They get one turnover, it gets people going, but you got too much talent at USC. Jordan Addison looks really good already. Travis Dye looks really good already at running back for him. And Caleb Williams looks like he should have played last year. I mean, he was a freshman, so I'll give him a little bit of a pass. But he looks like the quarterback that was advertised when he went to Oklahoma last year. So I think they've got a lot going for him. I think they could be a sneaky playoff team. I know a lot of people liked them before the season, but a lot to like about this USC team.
Yeah, and let's remember, there's not really a home field advantage in Corvallis this year. They have half a stadium. So while the turnover chain is fun, it's not all it is this year.
No, now this year it's just to get the players going. You know, it's not even about the fans. But coolest thing ever, but hopefully they can make it a game so we have something fun to watch late on Saturday night. Those are our previews for the week. Kyle, any final thoughts?
All right, one other game.
Okay.
Northwestern and Miami. Who do you have?
Northwestern.
Do you feel safe with that?
No, because if you do the transitive property, they have lost to some pretty bad FCS teams. Southern Illinois was not the very good team.
That was an 0-2 FCS team. I've got my Northwestern jersey on this week because the only week they've won is the week that I was wearing it. So I'm bringing it back. Hopefully the Wildcats, hopefully we can beat Miami. Miami looked good against UC, so this is not an easy game.
Not at all. And I think you should have a little bit of faith this week. I think you should.
gotta hope so.
All right, I'll mention one more thing then, too. Maryland-Michigan undefeated matchup here. I'm not saying Maryland's going to win, but I think this one could be close, too. I mean, Michigan's first big test. They played a cupcake schedule, the worst non-conference schedule you could ever play. And Maryland has Tua's little brother. They have good receivers who are going to be NFL players. The spread 17, if I'm a betting guy, I say they keep it within that. Michigan's also got the quarterback controversy. J.J. McCarthy is going to be the one playing. He doesn't have the most snaps under his belt yet as a college quarterback. He's gotten some experience behind Cade McNamara in the one game they let him start. But I think this is just a game to watch out for. It's at the noon time window. It could be one of those games you turn on late if Clemson and Wake Forest kind of doesn't turn out being a good game. So something to watch.
No, yeah, I agree. I think you're right. We saw him make some mistakes last year, and it was freshman mistakes, but it's also he hasn't played anybody yet this year, so he might still be making those kind of mistakes. Like you said, Maryland's looked good. They've shown they've got some offense, and 17's quite the spread. So,
absolutely. We'll keep eyes on that one. Those are our final thoughts. Everyone, we'll be back next week to recap week 4, preview week 5, talk about any other fired coaches if that ends up happening. Georgia Tech and Auburn are getting really close.
Brian Harsin.
Yeah. All right. Thanks for now. Thanks for listening. We'll see everyone next week.